Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, if you're new to the show, welcome to the family.
Yeah.
We are a show for couples that maybe struggle with infertility or miscarriage. And we have brought in the show to talk about all the different ways that God builds family.
Yeah.
So adoption, fostering, fertility treatments. Today's topic, we're going to be jumping into another thing that we've discussed some on the show.
Yeah.
And that's just raising children with disabilities. So we know a lot of you that have struggled with infertility maybe have had that just fear of I'm getting older, my chances of having a child with different disabilities is higher, or maybe you're looking at adopting and you're wondering, do we check that box that mm-hmm. says I'll accept any child? So that's something that's on the minds of a lot of people. And of course, at Hannah's Heart, we believe that every human life is sacred
that's
and
right.
made in the image of God. That's our starting point.
Yeah.
But today's topic will hopefully shed some light on that topic.
Yeah. So me and today's guest, Emmy. Hey, Emmy. We go way back, actually.
Way back.
To college. Mm-hmm. To junior college.
It's not that far back. You guys are still young.
It's not that far back.
Not that far.
It feels like a long time ago now.
It does.
But yeah, so we met in college and then just really have kind of kept up with each other just when we see each other in the
Facebook,
community and Facebook.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I had her on today. I wanted to ask you to come on because over the last few years, you've been sometimes more vocal than others, but vocal about what you've walked through.
Yeah.
You have one, I think you call a typical child.
Yeah.
And then I want to get into your story by you telling us, but a child with some disabilities and disadvantages maybe from what typical children grow up with. And so just seeing your post, you did not struggle with infertility. That is not why you're here today. But your life looks different than what you picture as a little girl raising kids, you know, mm-hmm. or even, you know, getting married and talking about a family. Your family looks different. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we've talked about this when you walk through infertility, miscarriage, things like that. But even if you haven't experienced loss necessarily, when your life looks different mm-hmm. than what you pictured, it's still important to grieve that. And I had to do that before we had kiddos in our home, of grieving the life that I thought I was going to have with Will, you know. And so I just thought it was important to talk about. And the topic that we're going to discuss today, I don't think it's talked about enough. And so I'm excited that we can use Hannah's Heart as a chance to do that.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Well, good. So you just go on and start your story. Tell us a little bit about you and your boys.
So I did not have problems with infertility. I had a very easy time getting pregnant and had Kaysen, which is 9 now, but totally typical pregnancy, typical, you know, hit all our milestones when we were supposed to. Actually, it's kind of crazy. I told everybody, but he was always like way ahead, like walked at 9 months and pediatrician, like I can remember going to his 12 months appointment. She was like taking him around to the room. She was like, listen to this child talk. Like, it's insane. You know, so like we walked and talked and did all the things way before we were supposed to. And then I had, Kaysen was, I'm like horrible with dates and stuff. I already told you this. But Kaysen was about 2 and a half when I got, no, he was 3 when I got pregnant with Jack Thomas, which we call Jack. And typical pregnancy, typical birth, like all of the things, marked all the boxes, mm-hmm. like everything was completely normal.
Yeah.
And had Jack Thomas in 2019. And I tell everybody, Actually, I told everybody now, I did not tell everybody this in the time because it would sound absolutely insane, but I remember the day that I hijacked Thomas just being like, I don't know, I knew in my heart that day when he was born that something was different about him.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it's crazy. It gives me chills, like, looking back now, but I can just remember thinking in the hospital, like, there's something different about him. And, like, I know.
Gosh, that gives me
that
chills.
I know. It does me too still. But, like, I know that, I don't know. I just knew that I was going to have a different road with him. Mm. And I had a lot of, like, anxiety and stuff through my pregnancy that I did not have with Kaysen. And I don't know if it, like, kind of stemmed from that looking back. I don't really know. And I guess it was, like, being pregnant and also having another child. Things look differently.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
Like, and so, I don't know. But I just remember knowing that day in my heart that something was going to be different and we were just going to have a journey with him. And that's really the only way I can explain it. But Jack did great, healthy baby, no NICU stay. Like, we thought we were taking home this typical baby and we were going to live our typical life and, you know, all the things. And I guess probably around 4 or 5 months, we started noticing just some things that weren't adding up, weren't right. And so just not hitting milestones. In about 6 months, we still couldn't sit up. We couldn't do any of the things. And looking back now, like, I can look back at videos and stuff and be like, oh, you know, like.
But you don't know when you're in it.
You don't know. And
every
you know,
kid
and,
is different.
Yeah, and everybody would say, well, and I think everybody compares to their first kid. Well, yeah. Kaysen was always so advanced. Yeah. They would say, well, you can't compare him to him because
he was
quicker. Way, you know, than he even should have been. And so it was hard, like, looking at, like, what's normal, what's not normal, you know, and you just don't know. And so I guess around 6 months, we started some physical therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy to try to get him on track. Wow. And he was more mature to call us, so, like, just where his neck from how he was positioned in the womb was a little different. So we chalked it all up to that. And, like, we were just going to start a little physical therapy. We'd be there for a month or two. We would be gone. Good to go.
Yeah.
And I think the longer we were there, it was like, okay, this is not – maybe, you know, torticollis is what his therapist used to always say. Torticollis is what got Jack in the door. Like, that was God's way of getting Jack in therapy way before you had ever knew that he even needed in therapy. Because that's not what we were there for, you know, like we originally thought. So we started that, and then the more we were there, the more we realized the more he couldn't do and the more – he wasn't catching up. You know, it wasn't just going to be 2 months and we would be sitting up. So we started fighting to find answers and getting in with doctors. And I guess around 12 months, he was around 12 months old, or about 11 months. I can remember where I was that day, who I was with, all the things. I got a call from his physical therapist. And actually, I just sat down. I was decorating the hospital for Christmas. And so my mom was taking him to therapy that day. And I told her the night before, I was like, hey, I just wish you would talk to his therapist tomorrow. Like, Mama, I know in my heart something's not right. Mm. Like, I just know it. I know that something's not right. And, like, and she was like, Emmy, like, you're just – and I'm like, no, I know. Like, yeah, I'm his mama. Mama.
Uh-huh.
I know. Like, and still at this point, nobody has a clue that in my head all along I've just, like – or in my heart, really, that I've just known. And so I've told her this, and – so that day during therapy, I can tell you exactly where I am, who I'm with, and his physical therapist called me and she said, hey, we need to talk.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. And she expressed all her concerns and she was like, I've already been on the phone with a pediatrician. I've already done this. I've done that.
Wow.
We've got to find some answers. And I remember just like weeping over decorating a tree in the hospital. And I was with my friend Gretchen and I told her, I was like, this is it. And she kept saying, what? And I'm like, this is it. And I was like, this is what I know that God was preparing my heart for the day he was born.
Wow.
Like, this is that journey. Like, this is the start of it. I knew it was going to be different, and I knew that we were going to face challenges, and this is the start of our journey. Mm. Like, I know that this is what God had prepared me for. And so here we are 5 years later.
Mm. Goodness gracious. Yeah. And you're still, I think, learning something new.
Oh, my goodness.
Every day.
Every day. Every day is different. Every
what
second.
What's the process after that? Like, I mean, so we get this, we need to do something. And then what do you do?
So after that, we started, and he was already showing some really early signs of autism. Okay. So I'll say that even at 12, or a little before 12 months, I have videos of he was just always like, doing his hands and doing his feet. Like flapping, he just never stopped moving. Yeah, his hands would flap and his little ankles were always twisting. Mm-hmm. And so I said from probably 10 months, I was like, I kept telling his OT, I was like, he's going to be autistic. Oh, and he was like, I just don't think so. And I'm like, he's going to be. Like, I'm telling you, I know he's going to be. And so.
And did you know much about autism at the time?
No, nothing. This is all new to me. Like, nobody in my family has a disability. Completely, like, new to me. And so we just got in with different specialists. We got in with neurology. We got in with all the people. Our pediatrician was very much on board, and I know not everybody has that, you know, and for a while I will say I'm with Jack Thomas every day, you know, and that's hard because you walk in a pediatrician and they see them for 5 minutes and usually they get the best of them, and so I just kept saying, and she was like, you know, I think we just need to wait, you know, whatever. And finally I was like, hey, I'm telling you as his mama, like, I know in my heart that we've got to do something, like, something's just not right. And she was like, okay. And like from then on out, it was just, and so we started out Lebonner for like some testing, and we did genetic testing, we did all the things. And about a year old, so right after this, it was the day before New Year's Eve. And so he was 11 months old, he'd be a year old in January. We went to lunch before therapies, and he started like this weird head dropping spells. So I really don't even know how to explain it other than they were just some weird.
Like your not, head flops
yeah,
down.
Like his head, like he would be sitting in a like in a high chair, and his head would just fall over. Oh, wow. And it was like he would just lose control. It was really weird. So we're sitting at lunch, and I was like freaking. I'm like, okay, something's not right. But we had therapy right after, and so I was like, I'll video it. I'm like, we'll show him a picture in therapy. So we went straight into speech, and I was like, okay, like this is what happened at lunch. This is what, in, like, as I talk, he's doing. And she was like, okay. And like we had the sweetest little speech therapist, and she was like, I'm just gonna pick him up and we're just gonna go walk up front. I was like, something's wrong. Like, oh, you're being real sweet and patient about it, but I know something's not right. And so from there we left and went straight to Lebonner to the emergency room. And we were there for 2 days, and what they thought was seizures. We've still never had an abnormal EEG.
Looking
back, we have no idea what the spells were. We've had countless like hospital stays, EEGs, 72-hour EEGs. Like, we've done all the
72
things.
72 hours.
Yes, in a room with cameras with a child with autism.
Oh, my word.
Insane. Yeah, awful. But so we started that at Lebonner, and I remember her coming in. She was like, she was a year old, and she was like, you know that he has, like, the muscle tone of a six-month-old, right? And I'm like, I didn't realize it was that bad, but, like, you know. And so that's really kind of what got us in and kind of started, like, got the ball rolling on everything. We already had appointments, but that got us shoved to the front a lot quicker. So we did all that. It was all normal. We finally did some genetic testing. So we did, I think, 3 rounds of genetic testing at Lebonner. Couldn't find answers. And they were like, we're just going to wait. Like, we've just decided to wait. And, like, we'll just see. And I was like, can't wait. And so we got in with an epilepsy neurologist specialist in Jackson. Total God thing. My cousin's husband was a resident, like he was working with him at the time in the hospital, and he was like, hey, I think I can get Joel in. And I was like, whatever works.
Yeah.
And so he got us right in. He did lots of stuff. We did another like 72-hour EEG in Jackson. We did all the things, and finally he was like, hey, I don't know. Like,
oh my goodness.
All I can say is maybe autism. But this autism doesn't cause all of the things that we're seeing.
Right.
And so we swapped over, or so he was like, it was Dr. Kimberly McDonald, I can remember. And he was like, she works in our thing. She's a geneticist. And he said, if she can't figure it out, nobody can. And he was like, this is beyond me. Like, I don't know at this point. And he was like, I've looked under rocks. I've never looked under. I've done things I've never had, like, I've never done. And he was like, I don't know. Like, I'm just telling you, I don't know. And so he referred us to her. This was right at the beginning of COVID, and so we did a round of genetic, or we did several rounds of genetic testing, and what was supposed to take 6 weeks to come back took 22 weeks to come back.
Oh, Lord.
And so that was a really hard just
I was going to say, as a mama, what is this doing to your heart?
Oh, it was hard. It was hard. And we were, I was in the midst of, like, a really long divorce at the time, and you know, it was just a really, probably the hardest season of my life, you know, just going through a divorce and in my hardest season with him, you know, behavioral-wise, and just knowing in your heart that something's wrong but not being able to figure it out, you know, and that's really helpless as a mama. And so finally, after 22 weeks, we got a diagnosis of TANK2, which is a genetic disorder. And before the show, they were asking me what it is. And I'm like, I don't know. When he got diagnosed, there were only 22 cases in the world.
In the world.
And so, yeah. And so when they called for
He is so special.
He's so special.
He's so special.
So
more
when they
than one in a million.
Yeah. When they called for our genetic testing results for like our counseling and stuff, I was like, what does this look like?
Yeah.
And it explained like all of the autism tendencies. It explained his speech delays. It explained his muscle tone. It explained the behavioral stuff. Crazy. He has like the funkiest little teeth, which are probably one of my favorite part of him. It's his little funky teeth. It explains his teeth, like it's oddly spaced teeth is a symptom of it. Anyways, and so, but I was like, okay, like, what does this look like for us? You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of things that you can say, like, you know, in 5 years, this is kind of, they don't know. And so, you know, it's just kind of like, it's very unknown, which is also hard and helpless.
Yeah. Do you know about the other people that have been diagnosed with type 2? Are they around his age or are we like?
Yeah, so... Also, another total God thing, when we got this diagnosis, I randomly hopped on Facebook one day and was like, I wonder if there's, like, if I search Tank 2 on Facebook, am I going to find anything? Because I'd already, like, Googled the internet, you know, for all the things I could, and there's nothing. And I found a page that was, like, Tank 2 something. I don't remember. And I was like, this is weird. So I clicked on it, and... anyways, and just like liked it. There was like two posts, hardly any members. And I was like, I'm sure this is like
not
like
accurate,
you know, whatever. And so, but I liked it. Well, like 2 days later, I got a message from a lady and she was the one that formed the group. And I think it was at the beach. I don't know. And I told my mom, I was like, I don't know. Like, this seems kind of weird. I think this is a scam, you know, whatever. Turns out it was not a scam. She was a mama to a child that got diagnosed with Tank 2.
Oh my goodness.
And she had Tank 2 as well. And so with our case, it's a little different. Neither me nor Jack Thomas's dad are carriers of Tank 2, so his was spontaneous. So it was not, I mean, it was just like unique to him and our family. If I had another kid, he had another kid. There's really no chances
that it would occur
again. Yeah. And so but that was not the case with her. She found out that she was a carrier and that her child had it.
But she didn't have any, you couldn't.
She does, actually. She has a lot of things.
Tendencies.
Yes. And so, and she has, like, lesions on the brain. So some other things that, as of right now, Jack Thomas, we are not looking at, but we just never know. And so, crazy thing is, she is from Boston. And when we got in touch, we talked, and there was a group at Boston studying Tank 2. And I was like, well, this is crazy. Well, at the time, my uncle was driving a, like, tour bus type thing from a man from Boston that was on... the like the board of the children's hospital where they were doing the research. So I know it's just like crazy because we have no connections to, you know. And so they got me in touch with a guy at Boston that was working with Tank 2, got his personal cell phone number. He called me while I was at the beach. We were able to talk. So like he has all of my information. If anything ever evolves or, you know, whatever, then he has my contact and stuff to get in touch with us. It was like
such
total
a
just
God
crazy
thing.
God thing. Yeah.
Oh
so I was like,
goodness.
How does this even happen? But yeah.
Wow.
So
I'm curious. Anne was talking about like, you know, all of us when life looks different have to grieve the what we thought life would look like.
Yeah.
When you initially got this diagnosis, what were the first couple things that you had to grieve and say, this is going to be different? What were the sticking points in your mind?
Well, I feel like really our whole life looks a lot different than I ever imagined. And, you know, I think that there's such a level of grief that, like, comes with a diagnosis, but then also every day. You know, like, I find myself just in different seasons grieving different things, you know, and grieving, you know, the fact that he may never live on his own. He may never have kids. I may never have grandkids from him. He may, you know, it's just things like that that you don't.
And that's an added pressure as his mom
it
to
is.
Care for him and prepare.
You know, and so, I mean, tons of grief there. And then grief of the life I thought I would have, you know, like. I may have a child living at home with me forever, and which is okay, you know,
but
that's not what
it's
I
not
ever
the way
imagined
it should
for my
be.
Life. Yeah.
That's not the way God designed,
right.
designed it.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's not. And so I actually was talking to a mom after recess one night, which we'll get to, but we were just talking about it and just how living with a child with special needs is. She has a little girl with special needs. And so and I told her, we were just talking about how hard it was, and I said, one thing that, like, really is probably not what I should say or what you want to hear, but it's just reality. As I told her, I was like, you know, this is not the life I prayed for. Mm. You know, like when you pray for kids, this is not what you're praying for. Right. You don't pray to have a kid. You know, I'm sure that I know so much has come out of your story, but if you could go back in time, that's not what you would have prayed for. Right. You know, it's just, and I was like, you know, I never prayed for this. Like I prayed for a child, I prayed for a healthy child, and he is healthy, but this is not the life I ever prayed for. And this is not, but this is what God's given me. And, you know, people say every day, like, how do you do it? I'm like, because I have to. Mm-hmm. You know, there's days that I don't want to get up and do it, you know, because every day is a challenge. Yeah. But it's like, but that's the life that God's given me. And I truly, like, through Jack Thomas, have found so much purpose and just, you know, and but in reality, you know, you want to say, like, this is not what I wanted.
Right. I'm sure every time that you have to surrender that dream, I'm sure it makes you a little bit more like Jesus. Have you found that being a parent with a kid with a disability, are there certain ways
that, like, it's opened my eyes to so much, you know, and, like, you asked if I knew anything about that. Like, no. But now I feel like,
well, it's so you can tell just through social media how passionate you are about kids and families that have any type of disability. Now, it doesn't have to be just what Jack has. Like, you post pictures of y'all keeping children with anything, you know? And that's totally a life, unfortunately, like, that I don't know anything about.
And I didn't have a clue. And I say all the time, you don't know until you live it, you know? Yeah. Like, and you just don't. And I had no idea, and I, like, God has opened my eyes to so much, and I'm very thankful for that. And it's not, you know, I say all the time, like, I try to be on Facebook, like, our life is not perfect, like, and I never want to make autism look beautiful and whatever. I mean, it has its beautiful parts, but it's really hard. Yeah. And
well, you posted something not that long ago, but you had said, it's a hard day today, or maybe it was yesterday, it was a hard day. And I think you said you literally just had to sit beside him on the grass somewhere.
On the side of the road.
On the side of the highway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were like, I literally sat on the side of the highway today.
On the side of the highway, got him out of his car seat, and we did bear hugs until we could calm down and keep going. And, you know, like, that's just kind of, and it's hard. And, like, that's what I want, I guess that's what I want other people to know is, like, it is hard, and we're all in this together. You know, like, it's really hard. And we don't have many easy days, but at the same time, like, I just feel like this is what God has given me, and we just do our best with it. Like,
well, parenting is such a unique tool that the Lord uses in our lives to make us more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, you had a son that you said was ahead of schedule on all of the things. Yeah. When I didn't realize until I became a mom how easy it is for pride to creep into your heart. My daughter was an early walker too, and I told my husband, I said, I don't mention it out loud, but I think about that a lot, Eric. And I said, it's probably very sinful. And then I found with my daughter, just things like I've grown up being very, like, I don't care about image. I don't care about, you know, what kind of clothing I wear.
Yeah.
But I want the world to see my daughter as beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. I want everybody to think she's amazing and perfect and and ahead and all of these things. And as I just walked into parenting, I realized how much selfishness of my expectations of the way I wanted her to be perceived that I had to let go of.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine now you add a child who's not typical
right.
and is developing behind in some things, the way that you have to surrender the way that your child is perceived and the way that you're perceived to make you just be humble and say, Lord, let me view what's special about Jack the way you do, because the world has their own list of what makes somebody
that's very true.
Amazing. Yeah. And it's not.
It's not tantrums.
And all. It's not. But it is beautiful. You know, like, so much beauty has come out of it.
What and would you say to some listeners that might be literally crying right now because they're like, Amy, I feel you. I know what this is.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone that, or maybe starting the road of, like, I don't know what's going on with my baby, and they're just getting started what you had to do?
Yeah. I say, one, everybody told me, like, you are your child's voice. And so that's one thing that I had to learn. If I don't push for Jack, nobody's going to.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to really push for him. And I mean, it's so hard, and I think that that's what it is realistic about it. It's hard, and there's not a lot of easy days, but I have really learned to, you know, lean into God and pray, and, you know, just my relationship with him has deepened a lot through this because I can't do it on my own, you know, and that's...
Well, and you seem like you have a wonderful support system that you brag on all the time on social media.
People don't have that, and that's really hard, but I do. I have a great support system.
Tell us a little bit about Kaysen.
Yeah. Okay, so Kaysen, I told them, is 9, and he is he is the sweetest, kindest kid, and he has the sweetest heart. And I say all the time that having a brother with a disability has taught him way more than I could have ever taught him about his heart and just about how to treat others. I mean, it's opened both of our eyes to that. And so, you know, some days we love our brother and some days it's really hard and we struggle with it. But I think that that's just part of it. But I will say that, you know, he has really opened our eyes to everything.
Yeah. I love that. And we're going to try to add some pictures of your sweet voice. Yes. So if you find this episode online, you'll have to see them. But we're coming to a close on the show. But I encourage anyone who may be listening that this doesn't apply to your personal life. It doesn't apply to my personal life right now. But goodness, y'all need us.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, people with children with disabilities, it's hard when you have typical children. It's hard every day.
Yeah.
But then when you add in those special needs and the doctor's appointments and the extra tantrums and the, you know, sensory things, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage anyone who's listening that might have a family member or friend to step up and just be there.
There are so many ways to get involved.
Which we're going to talk about next episode.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on. We're almost out of time. Yes. You guys keep listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio and join us next week for more.